You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got Haydock, Lingfield and Worcester in the afternoon. Big evening of racing at Sandown for Brigadier Gerard Knight. There's also jumping at Weatherby and racing over in Ireland from Fairy House. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm in absolutely rampant form, buddy. Thank you very much. But having had the honour to work with Aristocracy last week here at William Hill, it's back to you mere mortals this week.
Yes.
How the mighty can fall.
Oh, it's something to behold in the studio, isn't it, Lord Budden?
Exactly. An honour and a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes, and something that will go with me forever in my broadcasting career.
what's on your mind, Pimmy? What's going on?
No, obviously, we're getting a little bit of the old Derby buzz now, aren't we? Morning with the Stars yesterday. Mm. Seemed like it was interesting. Some positive vibes from Buick. Having ridden his mount, because, again, he said he handled the hill well and he handled Tappenham Corner well, so that's all good for him. And Frankie rode Golden Horn, and I think he was happy with him as well, so that's all good. Slight concern that one of the tweets in the Racing Post today said that the Balding horse, Elm Park,
yep,
didn't handle the track at all. The words of the tweet were, Elm Park seemed to change his legs more often than Long John Silver in that Epsom workout.
Nice tweet.
It is a nice tweet, but yeah, it's from a good source, and I think he's obviously picked that up, and that would be a concern for me. Because if he was changing his legs, he was finding it difficult to get himself balanced.
Yep.
And he wouldn't be going at racing pace either. So that could be a slight negative Elm Park, to be honest.
Yeah, that is a negative, because I quite liked his chance. I thought he'd improve from the Dante. Obviously, that being his first run of the season. I thought he might get a bit closer, but he's weak in the betting, and that doesn't sound too good, does it?
Well, it doesn't sound great, does it? And, you know, the thing is, you know, Epsom, York, completely different scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are a Elm Park fan, maybe just sit tight, because if he is going to drift, you might get a little bit more value. But certainly concerned regarding that. And again, I think there were positives from both the Gosden horses, despite him playing their chances down a little bit in the paper today.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? He's sounded caution, hasn't he? He's got a strong hand, though, hasn't he? Golden Horn at the top of the betting at 7-4, hardened over the weekend from 2-1. His other runner, Jack Hobbs, 13-2. Both of them apparently worked well at Epsom. So
yeah, no, I think there were plenty of ticks in the boxes regarding them two. And again, we've got Dettori, we've got Buick, if you fancy either of them. So you've got top men, in my opinion. And obviously you've got Gosden, who's a top man. He's only won one Derby, though, hasn't he? And that's going back a lot of years. Was it Benny the Dip?
18 years ago, yeah.
18 years ago. God blimey. Were you born then or not?
Oh, yes, I was.
Just.
I was how old was I then?
Well,
9 years old.
Nine, right. Yeah. You're older than you look.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah. No, dear. Yeah. Not good. You'll not get asked for ID, will you?
No.
Not at all. So there we go. We'll see. But it's all exciting stuff. And again, the countdown will continue. I suppose for the guys now, with the main contenders, it's getting them in there in one piece. That's the big thing.
Yeah. One we haven't really mentioned in there towards the top of the betting is Zorak for Dermot Weld. Hasn't been out for a while, but his form was boosted in the Irish 2000 Guineas over the weekend. He therefore shortened 92. And Dermot Weld, he has sprung a surprise in the past in races, so it wouldn't be that big a surprise to see Zorak win, would it?
It wouldn't, but I'd just be slightly concerned that they are fairly cautious in getting the mile and a half trip, and I think that's possibly the negative regarding him, you know what I mean? That, you know, they're going to more than likely have to ride him patiently to get the trip, and that might not be ideal. So, again, I think you need to be going into the Derby thinking, we're going to stay. That's not going to be an issue, getting the mile and a half trip. With that, I'd tread cautious.
Yeah, he's never raced over a mile and a half, never raced beyond a mile, and he's never raced in Group 1 company before. So be 92 second favourite.
Big ask, innit?
Yeah.
Big ask.
I'll just
But again, you see, that for that the reason, you then think it's not a very strong derby, but then in the same token, you look a bit deeper, then actually, it is quite a good derby, if you understand. So yeah, it's a race where there's a lot of scenarios and a lot of questions that we don't quite know the answers to yet.
It'll all make sense soon. Golden Horn is the 7-4 favourite, 92 for Zorak, Ellen Park 11-2, 13-2 for Jack Hobbs. Found is 12-1 but needs to be supplemented. Would be the first filly to win the race since 1916, should she come home in front. 12-1 for Hans Holbein. Giovanni Canaletto is 16s and 20s or bigger for the others.
I suppose we've got to think that we mustn't leave Aidan O'Brien's out, because if we do, we'll do so at our peril, because although there's nothing there that we think, this is going to do the job for him, but we can't question his prowess for the derby, can we? So, you know, again, you might, and this doesn't happen, get some value for an O'Brien horse.
Yeah, double figure prices about an O'Brien horse in a derby. Won't see that many very often.
Not at all. So, you know, again, something to keep the eye on there, definitely.
With regards to the Oaks and the fillies, Legatissimo 7-2 now at the top of the market, 9-2 for Crystal's Vader, Found is 6-1, 8-1 for Diamonds and Rubies, Together Forever is 10s, 11s for Jack Naylor and Star of Seville, 14-1 for Jazzy Top and Lady of Dubai, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you think will win the fillies classic?
I'm hoping that Sir Michael Stout will get the job done with Crystal's Enders. Very impressive when she won last time out, and you know, there could be an awful lot more to come from her. And you know, Sir Michael, very, very good at getting these fillies there and ready to rock and roll on the day. So I think she's a big, big player.
Yeah, she's 92 second in the betting. I mean, spoke to the traders yesterday morning. They were saying that she'd been well backed over the weekend. She was fives, and they said that won't last, and that's proven to be the case. Now into 92, and I won't be surprised if she's shortened again, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I think she'll be shorter than that. So if you do fancy her, I think I'd be stepping in now.
Particularly if Ryan Moore gets on board as well, because then whoever he gets on out of the top four or five in the betting there will end up favourite, won't it?
So. Yeah. I'm not so sure whether he will, though. Do you? It sounds like he could be tied up with the Coolmore boys.
Yeah.
So I think again, I'd be waiting on that, really. Not that it would matter. There are plenty of top-class jockeys you know. On a big day like that, you wouldn't be too worried.
Fair enough. Anything else on your mind, Pimmy, before I move on?
No, I think we're all happy. I mean, we're getting through the 52 jump meetings that we've had this May, so that's all good stuff.
Yeah.
And again, we just look forward to it. York this weekend as well, so plenty to go forward with, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a very good Thursday coming up at Sandown. We're going to look at a couple of races there and a couple in the afternoon as well, and we'll get Pimmy's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
The 210 at Worcester is where we start. This is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over 2 miles and 7 furlongs, and we've got a field of 10 to go to the start here. Pimmy, who'd you like in there?
Well, a very competitive race to set proceedings underway. The top weight, Bang On Time, he gets a £7 penalty for that success 9 days ago at Newton Abbott. That was over 2.5 miles. Stepping up 2 furlongs won't be a problem for him. Daryl Jacob rode him on that occasion. Paul John claimed 7 off him this time. So basically, the making the £7 penalty a negative. So that's all good stuff. So he races basically off his mark of 114. So he's certainly an interesting one. He's been very tough and consistent of late. I thought From Memory was interesting. He's up £7 for his success here over course and distance last time out. Sure to be a player. And again, I'm not sure that the £7 will stop him. He was very tough and consistent prior to that. American Legend, he seems to need a lot further than the 2.7 miles these days. He's fairly, again, tough and consistent, but whether it'll be a big enough test of stamina, not so sure. And Bertie's Desire, I thought, could be interesting for the Sherwood and Aspel combination. But competitive, as you'd imagine, but I'm hoping that Fond Memory can put back-to-back wins together.
Fond Memory for Pimmy in that one. Then the second race we look at is the 350 at Haydock. This is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got a big field here, 17 of them to go to post for this one. And we'll start here with Direct Times, if we may, Pimmy, for Peter Chappell-Higham. Only had the 3 starts, won 2 of them. This is tougher, but clearly open to progress.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about this race is, A, we've got 17, so we can back each way for the first four, and B, it's very trappy because we're getting one or two youngsters, four-year-olds, with very progressive profiles. Direct Times, he's definitely one of them. He's gone up £9 for that success at Newmarket, but again, in the fashion that he did it, the handicapper had every right to put him up that £9. And again, there's certainly a lot more to come from him, Direct Times. You can say in the similar vein is the Kevin Ryan runner, McCainis. Again, that's another one that went up £9 for a very, very easy success at Doncaster last time out. So that, again, could be one with that progressive profile. And the other horse that I thought was going to come into the race, win the mix, is the very much on the upgrade, very progressive Ruth Carr runner, Mashadal, who, again, has been running really well of late. Finished second, I'm afraid, last time out. But, again, I thought that was a very good run at Thurskin, a 0-90. And again, he could be another player, despite the burden of 9 stone 7. That's just three of the 17. There's plenty more you could put in the mix if you had to. Mm. But I think I'm going to take a chance with the Chapelheim runner, hoping that there's a lot more to come from him.
Yeah, some unexposed nice ones in there. Could be a race worth keeping an eye on for future.
Oh, this will be a race where there'll be plenty of winners come out of it. You know, it's very competitive. And as I say, there's one or two four-year-olds in there with profiles that can take them bigger and better places.
Mm. Moving on to the action at Sandown next. The 7.10 is the Henry II Stakes. It's one of two Group 3s on the card. This one's over 2 miles, and we do have betting on site as well. Vonderforce is the 11-4 market leader. Forever Now 7-2 with Simenon. 11-2 for Trip to Paris, 6-1 for Hijinx, 8 for Forgotten Voice, and 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. The key piece of form here at Ascot. Vonderforce second and Forever Now third.
Yeah, interesting race, obviously. Group through as the status as this race is. And yeah, Vent de Force ran really well on that occasion. Rallied, got second just inside the last furlong. He was behind Mizu by 2 lengths. But that certainly was an interesting run. And, you know, one that brings him into the race with a fine chance. And again, having got that run under his belt, that certainly will be a positive for him. That is for sure. Forever Now, again, interesting. Finished third in that race at Ascot last time out. Don't really feel there's any reason why he could change the form, to be honest, with the Huey Morrison runner, because I think it was a fair and square result on the day. I think the interesting one here is Simenon, to be fair, who ran a cracker in defeat in the 2.5 mile Group 1 race at the Royal Meeting behind Leading Light. Again, slightly shorter trip tomorrow in the sake that it's only 2 miles and a little bit, but I do feel that he has got all the ticks in the boxes for this race tomorrow night. He's obviously got the man of the moment, Ryan Moore, on board as well, and I think he's the one they've all got to beat tomorrow. Actually, I think he could be a little bit of value as well, because I think Vent de Force and Forever Now could be topping the market a little bit. And Hijinx, I thought, could be another interesting one, who ran well in soft ground in Longchamp the last time we saw him. But you know, Group Three, the stayers out in force. Just remind me what price Simenon is, please, Mark.
Simenon is the 7-2 joint second favourite.
Joint second favourite. OK, we'll go down that route, I think. Simenon for me in the stayers, 2 miler.
Yeah, no stranger to winning on the flat either. You mentioned the performance at Royal Ascot last year. Did a famous Royal Ascot double in 2012. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he knows what the job's like. And again, Willie Mullins knows this fella inside out now.
Mm. The 7.45 at Sandown is where we finish. This is the big race of the evening, the Brigadier Gerard Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older, and Trista heads the market at 9-4. 5-2 for Arab Spring. Eagle Top is 7-2. 4-1 for Western Hymn. 10s for Tullius. And Nice of You to Tell Me is the 33-1 outsider. Trista has improved markedly on the all-weather Pimmy.
Yeah.
Up to a mark of 112 from a mark of 87. That's how much improvement on the artificial surface. Can he do it on the turf?
Well, the word on the street is he's absolutely flying on the turf. So on the gallops, on the grass, they say he's absolutely flying. Now, that's a real interesting one for this fella, for Trista. He definitely comes here as a worthy favourite. And, yeah, there's a couple in there that you could fancy to give him a big race. Western Hymn's interesting. He was a nice winner last time out of a Group 3 at Sandown. So again, trip, track, course and distance, all good for his chances, that is for sure, for Western Hymn. And the other horse that I thought could be interesting, although he's having his first outing of the season, is Eagle Top from the same yard, of that of John Gosden's. And again, he could be an interesting player if he strips fit tomorrow night at Sandown. And that's the reason why you need to be listening in 5 minutes before this post time, because he'll be there, will he?
He will.
The talent spotter.
Yeah.
The guru of the paddock. The one and only KP. So he'll be able to tell you, if you're listening, if Eagle Tup's ready to rock and roll. Because if he is, he's a major player. But he might just need that outing tomorrow.
Okay. So at this point, when you don't know if Eagle Tup's fit and ready, how do you play it?
I'm playing it on the word on the street saying Trista is flying.
Yeah.
So that'll do for me. One thing we know is he'll be as fit as a butcher's.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Pimmy, before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, we're going to have a mixed bag of selections for tomorrow's racing, having kicked off at Worcester in their 10 past 2 race, taking a chance with number 4, Fond Memory, for Sam and Nigel Twiston Davis. Heading to the flat at Haydock Park for their 10 to 4 race in a very trappy 17 runner. So you can back each way, first 4 home being paid out on. Going to go for, hopefully, the very much on the upgrade Direct Times. In the stayers, Henry II Stakes at Sandown at 10 past 7. Going to take a chance with Simenon. And in the Group 3, Brigadier Gerard Stakes, hoping Trista can continue his winning ways.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Darren Owen, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. We've got action on the turf at Haydock, all weather racing at Lingfield and jumping from Worcester in the afternoon. So something for everybody to look forward to there. We've got a very good card to look forward to at Sandown on Thursday evening. The Brigadier Gerard is the feature race on their card. We've also got the Henry II Stakes, those two Group 3 contests, a couple of listed races and the Whitson Cup as well. There's jumping from Weatherby and racing over in Ireland from Fairy House. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.